All righty. 2 Timothy. Yesterday we studied at my first answer, no man stood with me, verse 16. But all men forsook me. I pray God that it not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord delivered me from every evil work. So, when we read that, we think that Paul is praying that he will be found innocent from the tribunal, from Nero, and that all the evil work that all these people are doing to him, he would be delivered out of, right? But that's not what it says. So let's see what it says. The Lord stood with me. This is a different word for stood than the one no man stood in verse 16. In verse 16, it was a technical legal term about a person testifying on behalf of the defendant. This word for stood is peristemi, which means, here it means to show or to reveal. The Lord revealed himself in me. Instead of the Lord is standing there with me to crush everything I don't like, the Lord was revealed in me. And that word peristemi is para, which is near, and histemi, to place, and it means to show, to reveal, to yield, to present, in context. Let's look at some other places where this is used. Go to Acts 9. Verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed and laid her in an upper chamber, and forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down, and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and she saw Peter. She sat up. And he gave her his hand, and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. That word presented is this peristemi. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Okay, now we have all these modern evangelists say they have presented a dead person alive by their prayers. And we have, with the help of the various media that we were working with, there's not one of them that checked out. They were all just hyperbole on the part of the evangelists. Why then was Peter able to raise this one from the dead, this Tabitha? And it just seems like, man, that should be a good thing to do for everybody. Peter did one, I think, and Paul did one. Why? Because Tabitha was special? I don't remember the one that Paul raised from the dead. But remember why Jesus raised people from the dead? Why he fed people?
Find out he could.
He found out, he had to find out he could. And then why is that so necessary? It's so necessary so that you empty your, you know you have the power, but you empty yourself of it. Within a year after I became a believer, a friend of mine was getting married. And all of a sudden, they were somewhere, I don't remember all the details, but he called and asked me to come down to Parkland. His fiance had turned yellow, and the doctors had given her just a couple hours to live. And I prayed for her. And within an hour, or less than an hour, she was well, standing, fully healed, fully healthy. And there were other instances in when I first became a believer that happened quite often. And then it didn't happen anymore. And I wondered, I said, God, is there secret sin or something happened? And then I finally, the only way I can say it, he showed me. Is that I had to know that power was within me so I could empty myself of it. Now this is critical. Everybody understand a little bit? And that's when they wanted to make me an evangelist. Anyway. Let's look at now Acts 23. So here, it's the same word, peristemi, that the Lord stood here. It means he showed himself here. He revealed himself in the resurrection of Tabitha. Now in chapter 23 of Acts. Paul has been arrested, and now he's sent all over the place. He goes before Felix, the governor. They brought him. He kept having to appear before different magistrates or kings. So, in verse 31, then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. And on the morrow they left the horsemen to go with him and returned to the castle. And when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, and they presented Paul also before him. So the soldiers did their duty and they presented Paul. And that's peristemi. Okay? But let's look at one more. Go to Romans 12.
Does this presented have another dimension of strength other than just?
Well, as I said, where in 2 Timothy, it means the Lord stood. It means the Lord presented himself in Paul. So he showed himself.
Yeah, so it's no small
thing. No, it's a big thing. Right. Now this is the one that's critical for us, on a daily basis. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You must do the same thing. You must present yourself without condition. I'm yours, Father, without condition. No matter what happens, no matter what doesn't happen, I'm yours without condition. I'm yours to do with me as you please. Present and supplication are very similar. You present yourself by prayer and supplication. And supplication is when you put your head in the mouth of a lion. What happens to you is unimportant. What happens to you means nothing. So that's another word for how present, this peristemi, is used in different contexts. All right, so back to 2 Timothy. And the contrast is what I want you to see. At first, no man, in verse 16, at first no man stood with me. No man presented themselves, but here it was a legal term, meant to present yourself. And now it's a different word. Remember in the verse 16, it's the word paragenomai, which means one who appears in a court of justice on behalf of the accused. Now, Jesus didn't appear before the court on the behalf of the accused, but he stood, he presented, he showed himself in Paul. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, or in me, and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of a lion.
Now the Lord presented himself to Paul, not to others, but it was, Paul was the one that needed to
right.
have it.
Yeah. Right. And so, and strengthened is a word dunamis, but it's end here it's endunamis, so he received the strength. It's, he received the enablement so that he could be able to stand faithfully before this, no matter what the consequences.
But not just for Paul, but there's obviously that it was for the benefit of everybody else to reveal Christ in him.
Yeah, but they didn't see him because they found him guilty. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But the preaching might be fully known. Now, preaching is the word, I can never pronounce it, it's K-E-R-Y-G-M-A, kerygma. It's that which is proclaimed by a herald. And it's not the act of preaching, but it's the information that is presented. Now, this is important here. So Paul, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. Now, here, fully known is one word. It's to cause something to be fully shown, to fulfill. In the context of this, the preaching might be fulfilled, the preaching might be fully known. Paul had to remain faithful in his defense before Nero in order for whatever this mystery of God was to be fulfilled. He had to make the preaching of the content of what was the gospel fully known onto the court.
This is where he needed the strength. He didn't need to be wilting about that time and everybody said, his message.
Yeah. He presented it with.
But he was strengthened by the Lord to present with everything, even though death was standing before.
Amen. And this made fully known as we've seen that all over. We saw it in the note in 2 Timothy verse chapter 4, verse 5. Just go back there a minute. It's in verse 5, watch in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So again, it's you remain faithful under all conditions. If you believe, you will speak. But it means to fulfill, make full proof. Here it's the gospel might be fully known.
It's totally cool and appropriate that the Lord strengthen it, because it's not by our abilities that we can even accomplish this.
Amen. Okay, so notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching, the content of what's preached, might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Now the Gentiles there is the Gentiles is the word ethnos, where we get ethnic, and but here it when it's used in the Bible, ethnos it's translated always Gentiles, but it means the entire Adamic race, that the gospel might be fully known to all of the Adamic race. Now here it had to be fully known all the way up to the emperor himself. So that, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now that again sounds like he's saying that God saved him from death. No. He knew he was about to die, and delivered out of the mouth of a lion is a metaphor, and it's really a reference back to the Psalms, where he was delivered out from among the dead. He uses a past tense, even though it hadn't happened yet, in the sight. He was delivered out of the mouth of a lion. Let's go to Psalm 22. Pete, you can go ahead and take care of him.
Okay.
This is the psalm that's the crucifixion psalm. And this is the first verse, is what Jesus said on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring or groaning? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted in thee, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him now, seeing he delighteth in him. Now, you got to hear this. This is what used to drive me, still does, drive me crazy about these so-called deliverance ministries, you know, where they go and they get delivered from demons, or they get delivered from this or that. That's not what the word deliver means in the Bible. To deliver you, it means you are taken out from among the dead. And you are taken out from among the dead by his resurrection, in his resurrection. So you are delivered always, past tense. Already the real you has come out from among the dead. He has led captivity captive. You see what I'm saying? So, but in our minds, we hear delivered from the mouth of a lion and delivered from this and that and delivered. And in modern preaching, we see all kinds of crap. But if you don't know that the human race, the ethnos, are dead, then you can never know what the word deliverance means. What?
Well, I'm thinking about this movement from where you need to be delivered from and where you're delivered to. to.
Right, you're delivered out of time and space, you're delivered to eternity.
And into him, and the you disappears in the middle of it.
Right.
There's no you in the end.
Right, there's only the Trinity.
Right, but the religion wants the you to be the end product.
Right, they want it to be the quartet or the...
Yeah.
And so does every man that has ever lived. So do you see this majesty of this word, deliver? And Paul saying it, he past tense, he hath delivered me out of the mouth of a lion. Big deal. Because our minds will always, if we have prayed to be healed and we're not healed, we think the Lord hasn't delivered us. And so we believe in comic book theology. And as soon as that happens, then our minds have shifted our point of view from God and his mystery to man, to me, or ever the man. And that's all that this evil one up here is trying to do, is to shift your point of view slightly from the mystery of God, but to men. And if you don't see this here in Paul, when he's going to suffer the most frightening, to me anyway, I'm not afraid of death, but if I had to be in a guillotine, the thought of that thing coming down, and there it wasn't a guillotine. There it was an axe. They had these huge blades, and the executioner would come down and boom. And a lot of times it didn't. It didn't fully cut him.
Yeah, the blade was dull.
Huh?
The blade was dull.
Or the whatever. Maybe they did it on purpose. Who knows what happened? Just so the suffering would be manifested. Do you see how trivial we make religion when it's applied? We make it applied to me. All right, go to Hebrews 5. Verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said at him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And it's interesting. Every time you see, I'm one that thinks Paul wrote Hebrews, probably dictated it. But anyway. He could see he didn't say according to Isaiah, as it Charles said, or according to somebody, or according to this or that. He said, as it also saith in another place. He forgot where it was said. Again, these little things make it humanize these so-called great men of God. They're great men, but not because the men were great. They were great because they were empowered by this mystery of God. All right, we're not there yet. I got sidetracked. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying, and this is talking about God, about Jesus, at supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto them that obey him. Now, if you listen to that, especially in verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication and strong crying and tears, that was able to save him, there is the word deliver him. that was able to deliver him from death. He wasn't delivered from death. That's not what those words mean, and we'll never understand that unless we see that the resurrection alone has delivered us from among the dead. Amen? You got that, everybody? It's not about a little issue that happens and, oh, God's going to save me from this or that. And I've prayed for that so many times that I would be delivered from pain. Yesterday, it happened again. But no, he's delivered me from among the dead. And anything that I am suffering, I'm suffering to fill up the affliction that's lacking in the flesh for his body's sake. And so what I'm suffering, I am being privileged in that I partake of the sufferings of Christ. So all of a sudden, my little boo-boos are sanctified. It doesn't matter what they are. If you're, you know, if your cup is easy, drink it with grace. And if your cup is difficult, drink it with understanding. Amen?
Amen.
All right, back. Now, if I quit going on rants, I'd get... Because the next one, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. We got to look at that. And then, as the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. It looks like that will have to wait until Monday.
There's something about being counted worthy to suffer.
Amen.
That just changes everything about that experience. It's, I mean, otherwise, it just hurts. But if you're worthy to suffer for Christ, then that pain has such value you can't even measure.
It's to fill up the afflictions that are lacking in his body, his bride. And so it takes you out of the picture. Anybody else? Everybody understand perfectly? What's going on? You understand? Get a little bit in. And if you're in heaviness, through many, many testings, remember that it's not faith that's precious. It's the trial of faith. And that trial is not yours, but his. You just have to remain waiting on him. All righty? Take a big guy.